Welcome back to the FKD podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today, I'm joined by Jana Palachna, who set the unsupported FKT for the 41-kilometer Pico de las Nieves route in the Canary Islands, running it in 6 hours and 5 minutes. Jana, thank you so much for coming on the show today to talk about your FKT.
Thanks for the invite. It was really nice. I'm excited to be here.
So I'd love it if we could start out with you describing the route that you set your FKT on, because I feel like most of our listeners probably aren't that familiar with the Canary Islands or this route in general.
So the route is basically located in Gran Canaria, one of the Canary Islands, so just off the coast of Morocco. The route starts at the coast in the south of the island, the beach at the lighthouse of Meloneras, and it goes up to the peak, the highest peak, so basically in the middle of the island. It's also sea to summit, basically. So it's going from sea level to 2,000 meters, but it goes also up and down. So it's not only the elevation gain, but you also do a downhill in the uphill. Firstly, it goes via the city, basically, a couple of kilometers, 5 kilometers, passing like golf terrains, all these posh resorts. Then it turns out to be a very rocky riverbed, which is completely dried up now. So it's quite difficult to run. So just jumping on the stones and so on for maybe, again, 5K. So basically you are still flat, running, walking, jumping on the stones. And then it starts to be really canyon style of views with the rocks. This time of the year or this year, it's been quite rainy on the island, which is not normal. So the rocks are also a bit greeny. So it's quite different this year, and it can get really hot there. So I anticipated and started in the morning, just after the sunrise, basically, to avoid the heat in the canyon. And it's like 40K, more or less, in distance, but it's quite challenging terrain. So as I said, the beginning is flattish, and then it's quite steep in the second part of the route.
The sea to summit is actually a very interesting, like, I think I love going on mountain routes that are on islands because you do get that huge elevation change and it is very different, but also very challenging as well.
And you see basically from the route, if you turn around, you see still the sea while you are running up the hill. So it's really nice to see the view and to be surrounded by the canyons first and then the pine tree forests. And then up to the volcanic, really the rocks at the end. So you have like the variety of the different.
Right. Yeah.
Climate even. Yeah. Gran Canaria is basically it's set at the mini continent or something. In some literature, it's having so many microclimates, so the weather can be really unpredictable.
So you did mention kind of like things that are typical and not typical for the area. Had you done this route before? Had you been here before, or did you just kind of pick it off the map?
So I've been to Gran Canaria in 2022, and I participated in the event Trans Gran Canaria Classic. So that was basically running from the north, from the beach there to the other side. So I did a part of the route, but the other direction. So I crossed the island from north to south, and now I went from south to the middle of the island. So partially, I did the route, but sometimes it was also in the dark, so I haven't seen many views before.
Was that race what prompted you to want to come run this FKT?
No, actually, the plan was to come to Gran Canaria to relax in the winter and to get some sun. Before this, I was doing an ultra cycling race in Morocco. So it was very near Morocco, so we said, okay, let's go to Gran Canaria to relax a bit. But I had a small accident during my race there, and I broke my shoulder.
Oh no.
But they said in Morocco, that's no problem, we can just continue your holidays, you know, you can go to Gran Canaria, relax, and then go back to Belgium, it will be okay, no problem. So the pain was getting less, and I had still some energy left, so I thought, why not? We did some hikes with my husband the previous days, either prior to the FKT, and I got really intrigued. I'm like, okay, maybe this FKT, I can just try it, you know, maybe I can just walk it or see how it goes, you know, it'll be anyway nice. And yeah, I ended up running it all the way up from from the beach to the top. I was having so much energy. And at the end I seen, because back then I didn't know that my shoulder was broken, but I was like holding my backpack with my one hand so I could run uphill, but not downhill. So the uphill was quite okay. But yeah, so it was a bit special.
Okay,
for
so
me,
I have
that I still could do it. Yeah.
I have so many questions now. All right, so you injured yourself during the race, but you didn't know your shoulder was broken. Was it in a sling or anything?
Yeah, I had to wear a sling for a couple of days, but it was not like a must have. So I thought, okay, just I will wear it when it's needed. And I started to walk and run without it, and it was okay. It was not painful, as it was like, it was immobile. I couldn't lift my arm or have it in the in the shoulder area, but it was not painful. So I thought, okay, it will be no problem. Okay. As they said there, it will be just healing itself.
Okay, so you weren't in tons of pain running this FKT. You're just like, oh, I, you know, pulled something in my shoulder, no big deal, I can
indeed
do that. Okay, all right. I love this, like when an athlete goes on vacation to relax and you're just like, oh, I hurt my shoulder and now I'm going to run an FKT. Like,
yeah, that's me or other, maybe this ultra kind of mindset. I mean, yeah, why not? If you are not really dying from pain, why not spend time outside, and running is the best way to be there out there. And
I could lay here on this beach or I could run up that mountain with a hurt shoulder. So you mentioned going uphill wasn't so bad, which I can imagine. So what did you do when you got to the top? Is there a road or did you have to like walk down? Like, how did you get off?
So there's basically a few, the last kilometer, or no. So last 2 kilometers, you join a really busy trek from the Roque Nublo, where many, many hikers are walking there. And just below the top, maybe 50 meters from the top, there is a big parking lot. So a lot of people come there by cars and they park there, just walk the last stairs to the real top. And I started just walking down the road the other direction. And then I just was like, okay, maybe I can just hitch a ride or somebody would take me. But it was not really easy in the beginning. But eventually a local guy from the north of the island took me down. And it was nice to practice my Spanish because he didn't speak any other language. So I was practicing my Spanish. He was practicing his English a bit, but we were really having this nice conversation. First time I met a local, because it's not easy to meet really local people in Gran Canaria, especially if you stay in the south where all the tourists and the resorts are located. It's purely, for relaxation, but not really the cultural aspect. So I was really happy to have also this part of the experience. We were chatting a bit about the life there and how it is. And yeah, the north is much different than the south.
Yeah, I was just in Costa Rica in a very kind of expat tourist area, and it's sort of the same. There's definitely obviously Costa Ricans there, but you know, most of your interactions still take place in English, and there's a lot of other, you know, English speakers. And I liked my rides to and from the airport because the shuttle driver, it was the same sort of thing. He was practicing his English and I was practicing my Spanish. I find that to be nice. So this was a kind of a spur of the moment decision to run this then.
Correct.
How did you, I guess, prepare? Like you were talking about like being in a riverbed and at the top, you're on a more popular route. So what was the navigation like? Is this a marked route? Did you just download some maps and take off? What did that look like for you? How is the navigation and how is the planning for the actual running of the route?
Well, so the first part, maybe 20K or more, it's not marked. It's just the GPX I had from the FKT website. I followed that route. But in during that year, as I mentioned, there were a lot of rain and landslides also in that area. So I heard, or also during our hike the day before, we seen that some routes, parts were closed. So the FKT route from the side was not really accessible fully. So I had to follow a different route from the Gran Canaria race, because that was happening several weeks after this FKT. So I had to reroute a bit and combine two different routes, basically. And due to that detour, there was also no resupply possible on the route. So I had to take all of my hydration and my fuel, everything with me from the beginning.
And so did you know about that reroute before you started? You found out about that beforehand. It wasn't like you were in the middle and being like, oh, I can't do this.
I have heard it because of I'm still following the Trans Gran Canaria race, and I heard that there were some detours, and that's why I checked a bit up front, and I even checked with the organization. It sent an email, okay, to FKT, okay, is it possible still to claim this if I don't follow the exact same GPX? And they said, well, it's okay. If it's due to the natural stuff, you can just do a detour, let's say.
Yeah, I can't imagine being in the middle of something like this and then just being, oh, I can't do this. There's a landslide and now I have to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So you mentioned obviously that it's been, you know, rainier and that has affected the route with landslides and stuff, but what was the weather like for you on your FKT?
So the day when I did the FKT, it was a very warm day. It was like 26 degrees, which like 78 or 80 Fahrenheit, something like that. So it's quite...
Yeah,
it's very warm. But I knew that in the beginning that will be the canyon and that will be very hot. So I started in the morning, I think at 7 a.m., just after the sunrise. So it was all the time in the shade, which was good. But when I came to the top, it was very windy, but very nice weather. I could see the Roca Nublo, which is the landmark of Gran Canaria. It's a very big rock. And also the sea, everything was visible. Still also the other islands. These days you could see Tenerife with the volcano in the middle. So it was very, very nice day to be there.
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, I don't know. I mean, is it normally a lot of water vapor in the air that limits the visibility, or was this a normal that you can see so much?
I think from Sahara, there is sometimes the scent in the air. So it's, I think, Kalima, where you have the limited visibility. But that day, it was perfect. It was no sand in the air. So as I mentioned, it's very close to Morocco. So it's a lot of times you have this issue. And also it's not easy to breathe during those days with the sand in there. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Are there sand forecasts? Did you know that it would be clearer that day and that's why you chose it?
There are forecasts, but no, I had just this day, spare day. So I had to do it on that day. Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier that because of the alternate routes, you weren't able to resupply along the way. So could you talk a little bit about what you used for food, how much water you were carrying? Maybe if you were carrying any sort of gear, what did you have with you?
So I had my camel bag of 2 liters with water, basically in a running vest. Also in the front, I had 2 flasks with a sport drink. And I had extra gels still from my race left. So I had 4 gels and then 2 gels with caffeine. It was everything I had. And I ate all. When I reached the top, I didn't have anything. But there was a track selling food and water and coffee and all kinds of stuff. So it was good too. I knew that there is something. So I counted a bit on it. Yeah.
Yeah. When you were just like, oh, I had 6 gels. I'm like, wait a minute. I would be very, very hungry and thirsty at the end. So I'm glad that there's someone selling supplies.
Indeed.
Is there anything else about the route or your experience on it that you'd like to share that I haven't talked about yet?
As I mentioned, the route is quite technical in the beginning on the stones, and you are jumping in the riverbed. But also later on, it's like cobblestones in the zigzags of the cobblestones between trees. So it's really, really nice. It's quite an old trek, I would imagine.
Yeah,
and so it's really a mixture of all kinds of basically rocks. So it's either loose rocks, big rocks, or cobblestones, or even boulder fields where you have to get over. But also some forest tracks at the end.
I'm curious, did you manage to relax on the beach after you did this? Did you actually have some vacation downtime?
I had. It was really nice to come back down and to really relax after that. I didn't know how long it would take me. So there was the last minute option was also to take a bus down, which was like 6 p.m. But I was there at 1 p.m. So I'm like, okay, I still have some time. So I decided to hitch the ride. But indeed, I arrived very early to the beach. So I have still time to really go there and relax.
Nice.
Some drinks and food. It was really needed.
Yeah, I bet. I feel like after a hard run like that, it would be nice to go hang out on the beach and just relax for a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you don't want to talk about this, but I'm kind of curious, when did you find out that your shoulder was broken? Was that after you returned home?
Yeah. So basically when I came home, oh no, in Gran Canaria, I looked for an orthopedist in Belgium to make an appointment already up front so that I have like several days later I had it. And after, yeah, I went to check what the status was. And I was just thinking, okay, maybe it's just I need a special scan or an MRI to really see what's wrong, because I still couldn't lift my arm. But I didn't have any pain at all. But yeah, just not lifting your arm is quite crucial. So it's the right hand. So I'm right-handed. So it was a bit difficult. And he was really scared when he seen the pictures from Morocco. His first reaction was like, okay, but it's quite serious. Like, how do you mean? Everybody already checked the scans and nobody seen anything. So what do you mean? Yeah, it's quite urgent. You need to really be to have a surgery. It was a Thursday. And he said, okay, I have the next appointment on Monday. So really you need to stay in the hospital for one night to really get the treatment done. It was like the whole tendon was teared off. And it was also teared off with a part of the bone. So he had to stitch my tendon and the bone, place it to the right place. So it sounded very serious. So yeah, and it's still crazy how I still managed to function. He was also not clear about it. How could I still function like 2 weeks without going to the emergency or something? But
right. Yeah, it's surprising you didn't have any pain.
No.
And you're just out there running up mountains and, you know, no big deal.
No.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, just, it sounds so very serious. My sister fell and broke her shoulder earlier. Well, I guess it was last year. And it was kind of the same thing when she went into the doctor. They were just like, oh, it's fine. Just put you in a sling. And then when she saw her orthopedist, he was like, you need surgery. But she was in incredible pain.
Oh, okay.
She was in a lot of pain. So it's just amazing to me that you were like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, and in first days I had pain, but I thought from the muscles and all the falling down, like some muscle pain, but it was not coming to my mind. It may be something more serious.
Right. Yeah, until you're just like, okay, it feels like by now I should be able to lift my arm.
It's crazy.
That is probably the most, of all the people I've interviewed for the podcast, I feel like that's the most interesting injury plus FKT story I have heard. You know, there's people who've gotten hurt on their FKTs, but they know it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I was really, I was very surprised or positively surprised that I can share this story in the podcast, because I mean, when else can I share this kind of story?
Right. Yeah. It's very unique. This audience will be like, well, that makes sense. You know, sure. Like, so do you have any tips for anyone who is interested in maybe running this route, or maybe just visiting Gran Canaria to run in general, like some tips or things you'd like to share, whether they're attempting an FKT or just hoping to go there and have some fun running on the trails?
The tip number one would be just go out running or hiking or going off the beach, because if you in Europe, if you at least say going to Gran Canaria, everybody's thinking about laying on the beach. But the mountains and the trails are beautiful, amazing, and there is almost no one, at least during the week. During the weekend, there is a bit of local tourists, or local runners, let's say, who explore. But it's really amazing to run on those trails and be almost alone in the canyons, in all this kind of nature. The northern part of Gran Canaria is, in my opinion, much nicer. Mm. It's very green. But the weather can be more tricky, so there can be some storms or things like that. So if running there needs to be taken into account, what's the weather forecast, and if there is no storms. But for the rest, it's very, very beautiful on the other side of the island.
Okay.
So it would be also nice to run the FKT from the north to the summit from the north side. It would be also maybe an idea to have a new route for an FKT.
Say
to summit, but from the north.
And I assume, is winter the best time then for European winter? Is that the best time to be there?
Actually, I don't know how the weather is in the summer, in the European summer there. Normally, it's not that big difference.
Okay.
But especially It will be a bit warmer, I think, but it's not that big difference. It will be not like 45 degrees or something. So it's for us, but for us, it makes more sense to go there during the winter to have some sun or warmer weather. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today and chatting with us. I hope your shoulder heals up quickly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It will take some time, but I'm patient and taking this as an off season. So, yeah.
Thanks again, Jana, for coming on the show. You can read about her FKT on the website, fastasknowntime.com, and follow her adventures on Instagram at pedal, eat, enjoy, repeat.